Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. From Boots to Biz Radio, sharing helpful information and practical insight about the franchise industry for the military veteran entrepreneur. Now, here's your host, Bill Williams.
Well, good afternoon, everybody out there in cyberspace. I am Bill Williams, and welcome to From Boots to Biz Radio. We are indeed dedicated to promoting franchise ownership among military veterans, military spouses, and some first responders. So Kevin is my co-host and sidekick. You were in Florida for a few days.
I was. I took my girlfriend there for Valentine's Day. Had a blast, but I'm glad to be back in the studio, and I missed your show last week, but I listened to it.
Yeah, so. Well, I appreciate that. We missed you, but somehow we struggled on without you. So, all right. Well, our guests today are Wayne Kidd and Mike Roman, both of whom happen to be members of the Johns Creek Veterans Association here in Georgia, Johns Creek, Georgia. But our theme, we're going to talk about creating community awareness and recognition for military veterans, and then come back and talk about applying military experience in the community and the business world. So, guys, say hello real quick, would you please?
That's Wayne Kidd saying hi.
Okay. Hey, Mike.
Mike Roman saying hello.
Welcome. Thanks so much for being here, guys. Let's jump in and talk with Wayne first, because you're involved in the Johns Creek Veterans Association as one of the leaders, and you're working on a memorial and all that. So, tell us a bit about the association and then we'll learn more about the memorial.
Sure. Well, we started up in September, so we're relatively new. We've got about 91 vets on the books, about 40-45 active. And we're really more service-oriented than I think most people think of when they think of vet organizations. Mm-hmm. For instance, we work with high school, middle, and elementary schools in terms of meet a vet program. If they want to sit down and talk to vets and find out what they think, we can provide vets to do that.
Okay. What's a veteran look like?
Well, yeah, we're all different. You know? And then I also work with, we also work with 7 senior living centers in the Johns Creek area.
Wow.
And it goes anywhere from calling bingo, which is a real hoot, quite frankly, to providing some color guard activity for their pomp and ceremony relative to Memorial Days or maybe anniversaries for them. And then we do a news and views. It's interesting to see what is on the minds of people who are 80, 90, 95 years old, and as compared to what's being said in the USA Today or whatever.
Yeah. Wow. News and views. That's interesting. So, well, and then earlier you said that you're giving a speech this evening for
yes.
Eagle and Boy Scout Eagle
yes.
Court. Is that right?
Yes, up in Johns Creek, right off of Medlock Bridge Road. There's a troop 3147, and it's unique. They have 100 Boy Scouts. It's a Eagle Scout Quarter of Honor.
Wow.
That means all their parents and 100 Boy Scouts will be there, and the troop leaders who I met just 2 weeks ago asked me to come up and talk a couple minutes, maybe 10, 12 minutes on three speaking points, the advantages of an Eagle Scout Award as you go forward, parental involvement. There's a lot more parents involved in Boy Scouts than it was in my day.
Yeah.
And the third point I can't even think about right now.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. I'm sure you'll do really well there tonight. Well, tell me, you guys have got a memorial project going, right? Tell us a little bit about that and why Johns Creek?
That's a very good question. Johns Creek is a major city in the state. It's a very wealthy area. It's a population boom, so we're closing in to 100,000.
Wow.
And there is not a veterans memorial in the city. And Robbie Newton, who works in their Parks and Recreation Department, came up with an absolutely stunning design idea at the layout and sort of put it down on paper. And it's going to be literally right behind Park Place. which everybody knows that area used to be the old dog park.
Okay.
And it's 4 acres of land that isn't being utilized. And about 2.5 weeks ago, 3 weeks, we got the city council and mayor's okay to begin with a landscape architect to lay that out. And it's going to be, in truth, wow, it's going to be one of the finer veteran memorials in the state of Georgia. And I say that because it's going to be different.
Okay. What's different about it?
Well, most veteran memorials that I've seen are somewhat sterile. They're very, very close to streets. This is on 4 acres. It is going to be a memorial within Newtown Park. And so it's sort of like a walk in a park. And we actually call it the Veterans Memorial Walk at Newtown Park.
Okay.
It's going to be something that is laid out for a very meditative experience. It's going to be quiet, passive, away from all the noise, and where people can actually come up to. We're going to have 10 war monuments, 7 dedicated to the most recent wars, beginning with World War I. So we have 7 of those. And then we're going to have a monument for the women serving in the service today. And then we're going to have one for POWs/MIAs. Mm-hmm. And the last one, the Purple Heart monument. So it'll be unique in a very, very special layout along rolling terrain, very passive.
Okay, so really 10 memorials within one. Is that correct? Is that kind of the way you describe it?
That's correct. And we're going to have the signature, I believe, is going to be the main entrance plaza.
Okay.
There's also going to be a veterans gazebo. So if you can think about 4 acres, we're going to be building it on approximately 3 and a little bit more of that 4. So it's a very, and it's away from traffic. It's a very quiet, meditative area.
Okay. Okay. Well, is your group the only one that's working on this right now?
No, actually, we're blessed to have a very good marketing support team from Leadership Johns Creek, and they're doing an awful lot of the what I would call grassroots sales and marketing job. And okay. we meet together, and we're getting along real fine. It's a real valuable experience working with them.
Okay. And now, is there? You say you're just about to work with a landscape architect. So you haven't reached the shovel, turn dirt over stage yet. Right?
Actually, the shovel in the ground, the photo op for all the politicians, et cetera, is scheduled for Memorial Day weekend.
This Memorial Day coming up.
That's correct.
May 31st.
Well, give or take that weekend. Yeah. That's correct.
Okay. Well, good. Good. And what about funding? I'm guessing all privately funded, not taxpayers, right?
Absolutely correct. Not a dollar is going to be coming out of the taxpayer.
Good. It's privately funded by the Johns Creek Veterans Association?
That is correct.
Looking for other contributors as well?
That's correct. First of all, we are a 501c19 nonprofit organization.
Okay.
So any monies coming to us from private citizens or corporations can be fully tax deductible. But we are looking for major sponsors for the major components of the memorial. That's the war monuments themselves, the entrance plaza, the gazebo. And we don't anticipate any problem getting it. After all, this is Johns Creek. What they do very, very well. And so we think, but I have to say, we have a paver program, what you would think of as a brick. We all recognize it. I think I donated like 5 bricks to the Centennial Park, Olympic Park, et cetera.
Right.
So we're going to have the opportunity given to the citizens of Johns Creek and other citizens in outlying towns, Alpharetta, Roswell, to donate a brick or bricks. I myself am a family of 5, and 4 of us are veterans.
Okay.
My wife is a Army nurse. So, and she has a brother who was in the Navy as a submariner, so I'm going to get him one. And I have a friend out in Washington.
Put that one below the ground?
Well, I don't know, actually. My thing there is I chair, along with Lori Hansen at Leadership Johns Creek, the fundraising responsibility.
Okay.
But I enjoy that, so.
Good. Yeah. Well, they got the right guy on the job. So, and then this memorial is not just for veterans to visit, right?
Oh, not at all. I would imagine that the vast majority of people who go to Washington's the Wall, mm-hmm. and we've all been to the Wall.
Yep.
The vast majority of those are non-veterans. And the same thing here within the Johns Creek Veterans Memorial Walk. It is for everybody. After all, soldiers, service men and women today,
yep.
come from all walks of life. They're citizens. So we expect a heavy traffic flow from the average Johns Creek citizen.
Well, I would hope so. I would encourage that. And we'll come back again at the end of the show, but and ask this again. But how can people reach you, for more information?
Well, actually, I started out and using my home telephone number.
Uh-oh.
Can you imagine what my wife said
this
to me?
This is the internet, right?
That's absolutely correct. And then I was thinking about using my own email address, and my wife says, you're an idiot. So what we have is an opportunity. If folks want to get a hold of me or have a desire to donate, mm-hmm. they can go to www.johnscreekveteransmemorial.org. And they'll have everything laid out for you. Plus, there's a information at Johns Creek Veterans Memorial that would direct them to contact me also.
Great. Okay, good. Well, thank you.
My pleasure.
That's a great example of how a small group of people can organize and get the community around them and get the community to support them. And, you wear that Johns Creek, Georgia, shirt very proudly. Yeah. But it's a great example of veterans caring for other veterans and dedicated to, memorializing the service of others and getting the community involved. So good job.
Thank you very much.
Good job. Let's go over here to Silent Mike. Mike Roman is waiting patiently for us. And Mike's also a member of the Johns Creek Veterans Association, but today he's here to talk about his business and about his, a little bit about how his military experience played into his business career.
That's correct.
Well, welcome, Mike.
Well, thank you very much. It's a great opportunity to be here. Thank you very much. I feel very privileged.
Well, we'll charge you later.
Maybe through VetBud.
That's
or something,
right. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Okay. So tell us about, tell us about your business and tell us a little bit about you. And I forgot to ask Wayne this. Tell us a little bit about your military service.
Well, I was in Vietnam for two tours, 18 months, and I spent 2 years, 8 months, and 6 days in the Army. But who counts really?
That's
when
right.
You're having fun?
That's right.
I was a crypto maintenance man. I did electronic maintenance on equipment and... If in Vietnam, in our part of Vietnam, if you knew anything about electronics, that translated to electricity, which meant you could fix electrical systems on trucks and vehicles,
yeah.
Refrigerators, freezers,
Hueys.
Fans.
Yeah.
Sometimes if there were electrical problems in Hueys,
yeah.
they asked you to volunteer to help out. We also were the communications center for 4th Corps. And one night we had Charlie pay us a visit, and he was kind of unkind to us, burned down our transmission shack. And three of us spent a little over 40 hours rewiring that.
Wow.
It's hard to understand, but that was so much fun. Seriously, the three of us were so competitive. We attempted to see who, number one, could stay up the longest, and number two, who could wire more terminals than anybody else. And I don't remember who won.
So, as long as you got it working so that you could support your unit.
Yes. And the real highlight of my career is I got to spend some time with the 9th Arvin Infantry Division. Being a crypto maintenance man, there was a little effort in late 1969. That required some people with some skills to be available mm-hmm. to help out. And if you remember, late 1969 is when we did the carpet bombing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the group that I was attached to went out looking for where we needed a bomb. And I was one of the guys who was responsible for ensuring that communication equipment was in the ready.
Good.
That was a wonderful experience. It really was.
Well, good. Well, how did you? And then you then you came back, and you got into business, or did you go to school first?
No,
or?
I went to school first.
Okay.
I had 2 years at Indiana University, but I had more master points playing bridge than I had grade points. So when I came home to to Valdosta, where my mother and father were living, they wouldn't accept any of my credit, so I had to start from the beginning. And worked full-time, went to school full-time for the first year. And then a friend of mine who taught in the sociology department decided that maybe work and school was not such a good mix for me. I was under a little bit of a pressure. So he arranged for me to get a job in the sociology department. And make a long story short, I met my wife there. And we've been married for a little over 40 years. And we got married on a day that kind of symbolizes our relationship. We got married on Pearl Harbor Day.
Okay. I'm not sure. I could go a lot of ways with that, but I think I'll just leave it there.
No, that really shows our sense of humor.
Yeah.
And she's my best friend. I couldn't have asked for something better than my wife, Susan.
Good.
So
college to work?
College to work. Got back into manufacturing. I had some manufacturing experience before. Mm-hmm. And that laid the foundation for me understanding what manufacturing was all about. My dad and my grandfather at the time were my mentors. And when I was 16, I already pretty much understood a lot about manufacturing. Came home from Vietnam, and before I went back to college, I thought, well, gee whiz, I've got 8 or 9 years in manufacturing experience. So somebody ought to be able to hire me to be a VP of manufacturing.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. And that's when I decided to go back to school and get some education to be able to back up some of the things I thought I was capable of doing.
I can relate.
Went through Valdosta, did my undergraduate and graduate work there, and worked full-time as an undergraduate, worked for a company called Crack and Good, and was offered a job as assistant plant manager down there. But my major professor had me involved with sending some applications to colleges because he thought I'd make a good teacher. And I got accepted at a small college in central Iowa, and I taught there for 3 years. And my wife's pregnancy and the fact that I did not have a PhD kind of led me to think, make a decision about do I stay in, stay teaching at the college and maybe make $10,000 a year or move on?
And make $11,000.
Well, I got a job in manufacturing.
Okay.
And it paid a little bit more than $10,000, but it was a pretty much entry level. And just worked my way through that and got up to be a C-level person with small and mid-sized manufacturing companies. And transitioned into managing the business management software and implementing that for a number of companies, first as a user.
Okay, so now we've gone from really manufacturing and walking around the plant floor to running the business through the computer systems.
Yes, sir.
Is that a fair
way
to say it?
Absolutely. And you know what, that from my military background, it really helped me understand that everything happens for a path moving forward.
Yep.
And there are pieces to a puzzle that just have to be laid down properly. And once those tools are in place or that path is in place, you just follow the path. And working with manufacturing companies and understanding the requirements to manage them through a business management tool, and the industry calls that tool ERP.
Right.
I've been doing that kind of work since 1988. And on my wife's birthday in 2004, we started Manufacturing Practices, which is my business today. It's a management consulting firm.
Okay.
And we help companies implement or select ERP or business management software.
The different systems based on their needs. And so you do the absolutely. Needs analysis. And okay, and then do you actually get involved in the project management of implementation?
I do that, yes. And, I think my approach to things is different than a lot of ERP companies, where the ERP company will come in and say, well, you need to do this, you need to do this, and you need to do this, after a company has bought the software. Mm-hmm. And there's usually an understanding during that phase that, oh, wow, the software doesn't fit the business all that well in these areas. And, you know, to me that seems a little bit backward. And so with my practice, I have an area where we help companies understand what an ERP system is all about before they buy one.
There's a novel idea. I've seen it the other way.
You know? I'm sure you have, yeah. Bill. And, you know, it seems that ERP companies don't approach the sale in that fashion. Not all of them. Now, I do know of one or two that do help their clients understand what they don't know first. But that's not the vast majority of them.
Yep.
And I have been very successful helping companies re-implement their business management software.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And you know, if the business owner had just thought or had been educated in that process first, they wouldn't need my services. So when my company goes in to help with that re-implementation, the first thing we do is lay an education path. That comes back to understanding the service.
Back to the military, understanding how to march.
Exactly. It's exactly right.
How to make your bed.
How
to polish your shoes.
Absolutely.
Your rifle. Yeah.
Clean your rifle being one of the
more
important
ones.
Weapon.
Yeah.
Your weapon.
Yes.
But that is absolutely correct. And it surprises me that small business owners, and that's the majority of my business, don't understand that. They're entrepreneurs,
yep.
And they
just get
to
it
their
done.
Credit. Absolutely, that's the approach they take, and that's very successful at launching the business.
Yep.
The one problem with that approach is it is not a long-term solution for their organization.
Right.
And we help them with one of my business partners make that transition from being an entrepreneurial-based company to moving forward with a full management team.
That's a critical step because a lot of companies never get past that.
They really don't. And, one of my friends who I was doing an implementation with suggested that, gosh, Mike, you sure take a different approach. Maybe you ought to write a book about it.
Yeah.
Well, I had, when I started my company, thought about that idea. And a very good friend of mine, Phil Bellouri, is a fellow who does just that. He helps businesses write their story.
Okay.
And Phil helped me write my story, and we call it the turnaround. And it is a true story based on every implementation I've ever done, which totals somewhere north of 60 companies that I've helped with their business management system. And the book tells a story of how I work with someone I knew back in Vietnam, change his business from being shoot from the hip to transitioning the business over to his daughter, who has the business acumen he doesn't have.
Yep.
She doesn't have the entrepreneurial spirit, so together they make a good team.
Yeah, I'll say. Sounds like it. So fantastic. Didn't know you'd written that book. That's good.
Well, thank you. I've given it to my son-in-law to put on the internet, and he's had some health problems lately, and haven't pushed him to get it done yet. But the book was finished several months ago, and we're just waiting on him and his health to improve finish that.
We may have somebody, Kevin, that can help him with that.
Right? Definitely.
Right choice. Services. So we may introduce you to Tim Morrison.
Wonderful.
Well, tell me, you had a lot of manufacturing experience, and you kind of went the on the job training with the software implementation. But what about qualifications? What about people coming out of the service today?
Well, there's a lot of skill sets that would benefit them working as a consultant.
Okay, good.
It's understanding the path to take. laying the foundation. It's just the same things that the service teaches people. You lay the foundation first, so that's the education, and then you train them. You know, you're taught to march. You're taught why you have to march. You're taught what your weapon is all about. And then there's training to learn to shoot your weapon properly. So they have that basic understanding. And the one thing, and I just talked to another vet today. I had that meeting this morning, who was a supply chain person in the service, mm-hmm. and he's looking to transition to the civilian market. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that some of the government funding cut that makes his transition rather difficult is that educational piece. He had started down that path to get an education, understanding what what the supply chain, how it functions, how it's managed, etc. But the government funding got cut, and now he's having to do that on his own.
Okay.
And that was, again, from my education about what the military is about and how you approach the civilian transition. It was an easy transition for me to start looking for where are those organizations that teach you the fundamentals of doing supply chain management. Mm-hmm. And operations management. I got involved with an organization called APICS.
Yep.
Back about 1982.
Okay. I think I predate you with that. But
do you really?
Okay, yeah.
I was not aware.
In the 70s. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I was fortunate enough to have one of the founding members, George Plossel, as my mentor, and George lived up in Big Canoe. And which was about 60 miles from where I was one of the C-level people in an organization. And since I lived less than 60 miles, I was not the company expert, or was not the expert that the company thought they needed. So I talked George into coming to do a free one-day analysis of the company before we purchased our ERP system. And George stayed on, got the contract, made some major recommendations for the company that I would say if Pete George hadn't made those suggestions back in the mid-80s, that company would not be in existence today, and it is in existence today.
Those are great story. You talked about veterans coming out, and what I see repeatedly when I talk to some of the folks coming out is they have a lot of difficulty translating their skill, their experience into the business world. But the way you laid it out is, you know, the planning, you know, going back to the basics, just take that approach, 1, 2, 3, and they'll be just fine. You
know? They will be. They will be.
They got to get out of the syntax and not think of themselves as S3 or a platoon leader or, you know, battalion commander or whatever.
Or sergeant major.
Or sergeant major, yeah. But as, what did I actually do? Well, you're in a leadership position and you manage people, right?
Yes.
So,
taking that approach is in your company, you go in and supply chain director for a company.
Mm-hmm.
Your role really is growing your people.
Yep.
And now that, you know, and how do you grow your people in the supply chain arena? Well, there's scheduling functions, there's planning functions, there's purchasing functions, there's inventory management functions. Do you have the right people in those positions? Or do those people have the right skill sets? APICS is the organization that helps you educate those people to understand how to properly perform their job.
And explain to folks out there what APICS stands for.
It used to stand for the American Production and Inventory Control Society.
Yep.
As we move through time, they are now the Society for Operations Management, I think. I forget. I'm still old school.
Okay.
And that's terrible that I forget. APICS has thought enough of me to put me on my second certification committee for them.
Well, I'm sure if you Googled APICS, you'd end up in the right place.
APICS.org.
You'd end up in the right place.
You will. You will. And the Atlanta chapter has one of the largest chapters in the U.S. They are very well organized. Scott Luton is the president of the group. Tom Cox is the director of education. And Tom is a career soldier, spent his career with the Army.
Okay, good.
And, you know, his education in the Army through APICS got him the job he has now
and
with APICS, which is, of course, a volunteer program. But Tom's value to the organization is that he does a lot of the training, or excuse me, the education for APICS, teaching the APICS body of knowledge.
Well, I know the Army has changed tremendously, but in my day, I was in logistics, but I was in the Transportation Corps, you know, and aviation. And now they've consolidated several branches and into a specific, I think, logistics organization.
Yes, sir. And the same principles apply. Yep. The APICS principles apply there.
You get the right thing to the right place at the right time.
Exactly. You have a bill of material, and what is the bill of material? It's the tanks, the platforms they sit on. Which are then put on trucks.
Yep. Then on boats. So, ships, excuse me.
Exactly. So how do you schedule that?
Yep.
Through an MRP system.
Yep. Excellent. Well, Mike, thank you. That was fantastic. If people want to contact you directly, can you how can they reach you?
Easiest way is to go to my website. My phone number and information is there. They can go to Ask the Expert to send me a message asking a question,
okay,
or just asking for me to call them.
And your website
is manufacturingpractices.com.
All right.
Now, there is a Chinese website called manufacturingpractice.com.
Uh-oh.
So they won't get me through that one.
Okay, manufacturingpractices.com. Great. Thanks very much. Well, I want to circle back real quick and just ask Wayne to describe his military experience for a couple of minutes. And
Well, that's relatively easy. I graduated from Seton Hall University up at South Orange, New Jersey in 64, came out as a second lieutenant commissioned via the ROTC program, went down to do all the special schools at Fort Benning Airborne School, Ranger School, Jump Master School, that type of thing. Then started my Army career of 5 years with the 82nd Airborne Division. And I ended my five-year career working with the 18th Airborne Corps, also at Fort Bragg.
Okay.
So in between, just had a lot. Actually, for me, I had a lot of fun. I was going to be a career officer. I found being an infantry combat officer in command of troops in battle, exhilarating, quite frankly. It's a privilege. Mm-hmm. And that basically is my combat. I've got a Purple Heart. I've got a Medal for Heroism and all that. But in truth, the experience overall is something that I would encourage anybody starting out in life to go through. If it was up to me, and maybe, thank God, it isn't, we'd have more emphasis on the draft.
Well, that's true. Well, thank you. Yeah, and let me comment on the Purple Heart and the other awards. You didn't win those awards, as you hear people say a lot. Oh, you won the Purple. No. You earned it. So
absolutely.
Congrats
great.
To you. Well,
thank you.
Fantastic, guys. It's been great. I appreciate you coming in. We've got a little wrap-up here. It's been a great session. And, the International Franchise Association describes a frantrepreneur, one of these days I'll know how to pronounce it, a frantrepreneur as one possessing the desire to become a business owner without reinventing the wheel. The National Veteran-Owned Business Association, NAVOBA, defines a veteranpreneur as a military veteran who organizes and manages a business. Our mission at From Boots to Biz Radio is to help create more veteran franchisepreneurs by providing information and education about the many choices in franchising. So please check the From Boots to Biz Radio homepage on the Business Radio X website for our webinar schedule. We have webinar coming up, two of them coming up on February 26th, next Tuesday. We'll be back again on March 26th and on April 9th. And the title of the webinars are Franchising is Entrepreneurship for the Military Mind. So very informative and free. So I'm Bill Williams. I'm your host of From Boots to Biz Radio. Have any questions, you know, check us out at www.axiom, that's Alpha X-Ray X-Ray, IOM franchiseadvisors.com/B Williams. And until next week, carry on.